When I was looking for a sponsor for this show, I was so excited to find out that my favorite offering maybe ever was available, and that's Audible. I have been using Audible for over 15 years, if not more. I have hundreds of books on there. I listen to audiobooks just as much as I listen to podcasts, probably, which is a lot. And I love, of course, reading physical books. I just don't make enough time for it right now. And I know that if I wait to make the time, then I won't be able to get to the book for a long time. So sometimes having the audio version available is really, really helpful. And then this is, I think, more relevant for the kinds of books that I would listen to, which are like a lot of spiritual teachings and maybe like business books and things that are not the nonfiction type. I do listen to nonfiction as well, but I definitely listen to the other books a lot more, at least historically speaking. So it was nice because a lot of times I could listen to the book, and then if I wanted to get the book later, the actual physical book, I could go through it as well, and I'd have a deeper understanding, especially when it was like a esoteric concept. I really loved that so much. I think that having the audio version of a book is so it's such a wonderful offering because our culture moves really quickly, and it is really important that we sit and read physical books. However, it's also really good that we can listen to things and get that information still, and it's totally mind expanding when you have that availability, which is one of the reasons I love podcasts and that, of course, I'm sitting here doing it. So that's one reason I love Audible. I also really love it because I really feel like we have so many, again, messages that come at us all the time in culture. You know, our phones, our social media, the television, the radio, everywhere we go, there's somebody saying something. And I really believe it's important to curate what you put in your ears, and you actually have control over that. With something like Audible, you can really be specific, and it's very individual to you what you want to listen to and how you want to shape your mind and how you want to shape your point of view and what kind of other perspectives do you want to try on and see through somebody else's eyes. I think that that is an incredible practice to really expand your life in so many ways. And so I'm really excited that they are a sponsor of the show, and there's a link in the bio. They do a 30-day free trial, and then I think it's like $15 after that a month. And I'm telling you, it is one of my treasured collections that I have. It's been just incredibly impactful in my life in so many ways. I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't have it. So I'm really excited about it, if you can't tell. And I hope you go ahead and use that link. And thank you for being here. And we'll see who the next sponsor is too. I'm only going to try to pick things that I really get excited about myself personally. And Audible 100% is one of them. All right, back to the episode. Hi, my name is Greta Hotmer, and this is a thought experiment called Life. This is a podcast I created for multi-passionate creatives forging non-traditional life paths. I sometimes say multi-passionate or multi-curious. I know some people, you know, passion is a loaded word in the sense of a lot of expectation, right? And as a type A lady myself, sometimes just being curious about something is enough. This podcast definitely does not fit into any particular niche. I don't feel that I have ever fit into a niche. I delayed creating this podcast for that very reason. I didn't really kind of know how to categorize it and what to, you know, what exactly am I going to talk about? Only there are many things that I care about and have experienced and have, you know, some level of expertise on, some level of opinion on, in a way that relates to everything from having autoimmune Lyme disease, chronic Lyme disease for 20 years and learning to live and thrive with that, even as it kind of was back and forth into remission while, you know, creating my own businesses. And I'm a professional musician. I teach jiu-jitsu. I was a Krav Maga instructor for a very long time. And I have my master's in herbalism and nutrition as well, which I kind of basically got to take care of myself with Lyme disease. So there are many things that I care about. And I feel, you know, through that journey, I wanted to share at least some of my perspectives, the things that have helped me. I really believe that people find the message they need when they're ready for it. And obviously, if we're paying attention and then if we miss it, it'll come back. So I hope that you find something here. I will be interviewing a lot of friends and other experts as well. I should say I will be interviewing friends who also have multi-passionate lives and live very unconventional lives, as well as new friends that I'm sure that I will meet throughout this, and then experts in these areas as well. So there's going to be a lot to share here. You know, I this is a place where I feel it's important to share our stories, and I feel that it's important to listen to other people's stories. I know so many of the things that I have worked through in my own life, I worked through because I heard somebody else's story, somebody who else was brave enough and kind enough to share their experience. And do I feel like who cares if I'm doing this? Yes, right? But I just know it kept tapping on me. It kept being like, please do this. Please do this. You should do this. You should do this. And I've been putting it off for at least 5 years. So I finally decided, fuck it. Here we go. Let's just do it. And so I hope that if you're listening and found this, I hope you get something out of it. So I was just real quick going to talk about a perspective that helped me at a time during Lyme disease. I don't know that this perspective is always helpful, but if it lands for you right now, then cool. That's who it's for. So I will give a real brief rundown of the Lyme disease history for me right now, and we'll talk about it more in depth when I talk about just kind of protocols and approaches in that sense. But so when I was 20, I was a Krav Maga instructor and I was a full-time college student, and I got Lyme disease somewhere in that time. I did an outward bound trip to Europe, and it was like a 2.5 month long hiking, and it was very, very intensive. I was intense at that time, right? I was training all the time and an athlete, but I was wrecked. I was completely wrecked. And I think that part of it was the altitude kind of kicked up the Lyme disease infection. I think it seems to bother me. So that's kind of what I'm thinking from here. So this was 22 years ago. And I when I came back from that, I was a mess, and I stopped teaching Krav at 24. You know, I graduated college, but my life just really, I couldn't really do much. So, and I'm just going to quickly go through these things, because it brought me to essentially from during my 20s. I did my best to try to keep living life to the best that I could. I was in a band. I was a makeup artist. I, you know, taught workshops with my sister, but it was like, kind of like, I really couldn't, my band did well. But we didn't go much farther than just a little bit well, which is fine. But you know, it was, I had a PICC line. So it's like a catheter that goes into your heart and you do like IV treatments. I did that for a summer. I was on all the different medications, and was just basically a shell. Like I was like 80 years old during my 20s, and everything hurt and all of that, all the fun things that come with Lyme. And right around the time that I turned 30, when I started getting into plant medicine, I was doing physical therapy again, and dealing with some really painful, just my body was in a ton of pain. It was very hard. So with Lyme disease, for me, everyone kind of has a different flavor of it. For me, it was very much the painful joints, like arthritic kind of pain. Just moving around is very, very tough and kind of random. Each day might be a little bit different. And then cognitively speaking was even tougher than that. So everything was just very, very foggy in a way that, I still deal with to an extent, but not like that. Like it's as if you haven't slept in like 3 days and you're trying to do math problems when you're just like trying to like make a coffee or like have a conversation or something, you know, or get dressed. Getting dressed was a tough one. I was reaching 30 years old, and I really, just was, you know, it was a really hard thing to be approaching 30 and feel that the years that everybody else in my peer group was like, they were invincible in that sense, right? And I've never been super extroverted, but it took it to a new level of introversion for me, where I really, my life was on so much on hold during that time, in more than just the way of Lyme disease. I was angry. I was angry with this condition and fighting with it. Always trying to find out, like, because Lyme disease testing isn't very good. So I was always trying to find out, is there something else that's going on? Like, can you give me better testing? Can we investigate more? And not accepting the situation for what it was. And I guess this must have been right before I really like devoted myself. I think so. Yeah. It was like right before I devoted myself to plant medicine. So the regimen that I was on was, Adderall and Vicodin was the best, because I was allergic to a bunch of the other medications. So Adderall to keep me awake and Vicodin to kill the pain. And, that was not a sustainable, you know, approach. It was the best that we could come up with at the time. And that's fine, I guess, you know, but it was definitely not the approach that I would recommend by any means. And it was just not, I felt like a shell of a person. I didn't feel like a real person. And then everyone around me was, you know, using and abusing those same things. So it was also like, I'm like, where does the line, you know, where's that line? Is it? 'Cause to me it was just like, so I could, you know, get dressed and to be and function, but I didn't feel like I was there. So the reason I'm giving this whole, this side of it, I'll get into the more like logistical, you know, plant medicine side of things and approach in that sense, another time. But I had a physical therapist who, you know, I was getting another round of testing and I was so frustrated and it was hard for me to walk and it was hard for me to stand. And I had a part-time job as a makeup artist at MAC and it was excruciating. Like I was in tears and pain just trying to do a, you know, normal shift. And everything, it was just, again, I was angry and I wasn't accepting the situation. And I considered myself, you know, pretty spiritual already in that sense. I'd already been through a number of years of this and really spent many dark nights of the soul just getting to know spirit and my connection to spirit, however that translates for you. For me, it was, you know, welcoming that into my life. And this was very much a huge part of the invitation for me, this moment where he and then I heard it again. So it was like a twofold kind of like reiteration of this message where, you know, he said, what if nothing change? Like, what if nothing changes? What if this just is what it is? And this is why I say it's not always helpful, right? Like I know there's sometimes where this is not the message, but sometimes it's just a moment. And I've talked a lot about like the presence of a moment, right? So there's so much alchemy and magic that can happen in just a moment of a different perspective that can help shift things. And that was for me, at that time, it was really impactful because it released the struggle I was having with just accepting the situation. It released the need for me to look elsewhere than exactly where I was. So I heard it again. I think it was Michael Beckwith. I would listen again. So I'm doing a podcast. I've loved podcasts forever because they kept me sane pretty much. They kept me doing exactly right now what maybe what you're doing right now is maybe you're going through a dark night of the soul and you're just kind of like listening and seeing what resonates, you know, and that's literally why I'm doing this. I think that this is like my way to pay it forward. So he said something very similar, like, what if nothing changes? And it wasn't like when he was talking about it, it's not like, well, what if nothing changes? And like, this is just it. And it was like, what if nothing changes? And this is where you, like, how do you find the beauty in what is here? How do you find your joy in what is here? How do you find your life here in this moment, which is what it is? And then the third layer of that, the really kind of OG layer of that is Viktor Frankl. I admittedly really have a hard time getting through The Man's Search for Meaning. I have tried many times. It's very hard to get through what actually happened. But I have studied a bunch of just his philosophy in general in terms of, you know, purpose and acceptance, right? Like of what it is. Finding the beauty within the shit. And let me say, this can also become something that is like, you know, I was in a very toxic, unhealthy relationship and life for a while because I was able to find the beauty within the shit. So there's always a line, right? There's a line to go, okay, yeah, I've accepted this. I found the beauty within the shit, but also we need to scoop this shit and like move on to something else, right? So please take this with that caveat. Like you'll know, you'll feel it within you to know, like there's some situations that require grace and acceptance to just be in that moment and find what you can find beautiful in it. And there are some moments that are fucking bullshit that you need to draw the boundaries with and, you know, set a new precedent for yourself. That takes practice, of course, to do those things, but I do feel like I need to say that. Let's just focus on the moments that do require us to find the beauty within the shit. So, you know, nature nature for me was one of the biggest ways it helped me be able to integrate that into my life. And then there's a book that I will talk about a lot called Outrageous Openness by Tosha Silver. And she is just one of, I have many sheroes and heroes, and she's one of them. And, you know, she did, her words really spoke to me in a way to help me understand how to really offer the pain, offer and surrender to something bigger than myself. And to this force of love that I knew was there, you know, like I could feel it. I had my own experiences in that sense, but I didn't know that I could just like find a way within me to offer that. And sometimes it's just asking, can I, like, I don't know how to, please do it for me. You know, please help me see the beauty here. Help me see what I need to see. Help me be at peace, even though this is chaos, right? So much of this thinking has transformed my life. And I learned it very much from Outrageous Openness. And she has another book called Change Me Prayers that also was incredibly instrumental. And it was all around this time, and it really, truly, my life completely changed when I adopted this way of thinking about it rather than fighting with this condition, fighting with myself, fighting with the doctors, fighting with all of it. You know, I really was able to open this quantum field, let's just say, my heart, my spirit, my psyche. I was able to trust that I could open to something greater and trust that I would be shown maybe the next steps or shown another way to look at things. And you know, I think it's A Course in Miracles that talks about a change of perspective is a miracle. And it really is. When you think about when you all of a sudden see something differently, like really differently, it is miraculous, especially if the thing that you saw before was like very unhealthy. And then all of a sudden you're just like, oh my God, you know, wow, I see this from a healthy perspective now. So I offer that today to say, if there's something that you've been struggling with, you know, it's just to offer it up, literally, like go to the nearest tree, you know, go give. I frequently will bring walnuts to the squirrels as my little offering. And just, it's just a way for me to physically represent what I'm doing and say, like, I'm offering this, I'm letting this go, I'm accepting this situation. Please show me how to find peace, or please show me what to do next. Please show me how to engage with my life in a loving, beautiful, fulfilling way in this moment. I don't know how to do it. Like, I've run out of ways to figure out how to do it. Please do it for me. And you know, this is a practice that you'll see in many religions and many cultures, and there's a reason for it, right? Like I don't ascribe to any specific, you know, organization or religion or anything. I'm just kind of having my own, I'll borrow Tosha Silver's words, you know, love affair with the divine, right? Like I have my own very personal experience in that sense. And I love to see everybody engage with spirit in whatever way resonates for them. Like I personally don't have any stock in like how you do it, you know, as long as you're being cool to everyone else. You know, but that practice is universal. It's part of us. That's alchemy, right? That's when we say like a magical practice. To me, it's quite magical when you're able to find the joy and find the beauty within the shit and within the moments, within any moment, right? It doesn't need to be a bad moment, but there may be things that we just do not have control over at the time. And how do you navigate your way through it without losing yourself to it? And so much of it comes to being able to offer up that pain, offer up the confusion, offer up the questions, allow, like, just get it, like, you know. And you can do this again. You can light candles. I loved prayer candles forever. I was raised Catholic. I love those prayer candles. I knew, I think on a soul level, I was like, this is what's happening. You know, I'm offering this up. I always have candles, you know, around. And, you know, go give the birds bird seed or whatever. Do something kind for somebody else and know that you're passing along that energy. Like, allow that stuck, like, anger, tension, energy to move. Allow to release it. If there's something that you're holding on to because it's the situation that you feel like you have no control over, and I understand. I mean, I feel that that is something that I've you know, maybe I signed up for like a masterclass and learning how to let go for this lifetime. Because there have been many situations where it just felt like I didn't have agency or power to change things, you know, but I consider myself having a really beautiful life because I have practice of that surrender, offering, acceptance, and allowing something beyond what I can imagine to come in, you know. And it's not as if, you know, angels come down from the sky and like tell me things or whatever, you know. It's just this, our lives are nuanced and beautiful. And if you interact with your life in that moment, if you interact with spirit in that moment and let go and then tune into like how you feel and look for hawks flying in the sky, look for a sign that lets you know that, you know, you did release, you are not alone. You are on the right path. You are in the right time, in the right space, and to ask to feel that in this moment, and then to be shown what to do next. It is an incredibly freeing feeling, and it is very helpful if you're feeling incredibly stuck, incredibly imprisoned by your circumstances. You know, from there, I found plant medicine. From there, I found my purpose. From there, you know, it took many years for me to still kind of unpack a lot of unhealthy situations, but I only did it because I really began that journey then. I really began the moments of, all right, how do I now listen to the guidance and act on the intuition, act on the love that is given, on the love that is shown? How do I pay attention and really be present in my life? And it'll lead you down a path that maybe you, I promise you did not think that was going to happen. It's when the things that start to happen, when we do this, and it may take years, you know, but years you'll look back and you go, I could not have designed this. I could not have chosen this path. This is wild. This is wild. So when you, the longer you live on earth, right? Like I have the benefit of being 42, so I can look back and go like, okay, I've seen these cycles a few times, but it gets a little bit easier when you see the cycles a couple times because you can go, okay, I trust this process now. But I hope this is helpful for anybody who may be going through it right now, going through a dark night of the soul. I will leave the information about the books, and maybe I even can find that one podcast from Michael Beckwith, even though it was like a good, almost probably 18 years ago or something. Maybe not quite that long, but I have such deep compassion for you if you're going through something like that. I really understand it's not easy, but it is sacred. Our dark times are just as sacred as our light times. So I hope this has been helpful. If this helped you and you want to share it with somebody else, of course, that would be great. I'm doing this really because I just feel compelled to share these things. So if it helps you, it'll help somebody else, and you never know. Okay. Have a great rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.